In this year of Eucharistic revival, it has come to my mind more than a few times that in history there's no such thing as a revival without repentance first. Every revival is preceded by repentance. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of revival. You may think of something, do you think of something Catholic or something more Baptist, right? Or Pentecostal, right? But revival is when something that was dead is now come back to life. When something that was lifeless is now vibrant. It's something that was dormant. It's now active. And the Lord wants to revive the faith of his church in his real presence in the Eucharist and everything that that means, so that especially for we who have received Jesus, you know, for many years, every Sunday, very faithfully, but who are maybe going through the motions and maybe not fully, not that we're disbelieving necessarily, or maybe there is a doubt, to revive faith in the facts and in the reality, but also to revive our faith in terms of our expectation of the Lord, of his presence, of the power of his presence, and of his working within us through the sacrament. Revival could be, for many of us, what we need. And you may really have never quite had that faith really on fire. And in which case, I think revival still works, even if it's the first time that you've maybe approached the Lord at a certain level of faith. But I think for a lot of us, we've had encounters with Jesus in the Eucharist, and we know that he's there. We know that this is unique and different. I remember the first time I knew that Jesus was present in the Eucharist. I was an eighth grader. I was on the Franciscan University retreat in Steubenville, Ohio, and I had been raised Catholic and did not ever actively doubt whether it was Jesus. I don't think I ever thought about it. I'm sure they told me that that's what that was. But it was when I was in the middle of adoration, there we were, and we were worshiping. It was praise and worship. We're worshiping the Lord, and the priest was processing around with the Blessed Sacrament. And as he was processing with the Blessed Sacrament, like in the monstrance, you know, he was walking through our midst, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, that's Jesus. I knew it like I had never known it. Some of those moments a lot of us have had. And yet, it's totally possible for me then to go on and receive Jesus in the Eucharist in sort of a matter-of-fact way that isn't very thoughtful or expectant or excited or really fully receiving his presence and his power. And it's not about having this or that experience, but those do help us to know what the reality is. And the Lord wants to renew in us the faith that says, Jesus, your covenant love for me that you are pledging to me in this sacrament, I receive, and I offer myself to you in the same way. That's the aspect that I want to talk about today. God's covenant love to desire to be in communion with us always is offered to us at every Eucharist. He offers to be one flesh with us. Last week I said when the priest, the deacon, or the minister says the body of Christ and you say amen, it means I believe. Maybe further, it means I stake my life on it. But also to receive Jesus, to say amen and then to receive him is to say, I want to be in union with you in this covenant, this communion of persons. In the way that you're giving yourself to me, I'm giving myself to you. The word for covenant love in Hebrew is hesed. That's not the correct Hebrew pronunciation, but it's hesed. It's a specific love that says, God says, I'm always going to be faithful to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you wander away, and even if I have to discipline you, I will always take you back. I will never disown you. That's God's covenant, steadfast, hesed love. That is what he offers to us in the Eucharist. That is what he is saying. He is proposing to us. And when we say amen and receive, we are saying, yes, I receive your steadfast covenant love for me, and I give myself totally to you, to live in communion with you throughout my day and throughout my week. And I think that the repentance that we might need, right, is a change of mind. That's literally what metanoiate means in Greek, repentance, or repent. Is what am I doing when I'm receiving communion? Oh, I'm giving this total gift of myself to the Lord. And I'm saying, and I want to be in communion with you always. That what I do on Sunday morning matches what I do on Monday morning. And that there's nowhere that I don't want to be in communion with the Lord. There's nothing I don't want to talk to the Lord about and know what he thinks about it. There's no one I don't want to talk to the Lord about and know what he thinks about them. Talk to Jesus about everyone you meet. Also, spreadsheets. And donuts. And I don't know whatever else it is. When was the last time you talked to God about a spreadsheet? And I don't mean in cursing. Like, when was the last time you asked God about a spreadsheet? Is there some area of your life where you just never ask him what he thinks? I've found it very difficult to ask God what he thinks about things when I'm doing spreadsheets. And when I'm doing administration. And certain emails that are very detailed. I'm not a detail person, okay? I find it very difficult. It's hard for me because I have heard people say my entire life, God is in the details. I will also say the devil's in the details, but God is in the details. And I know what that means. Like when you look at science, I get that. God is in the details. Yes, it's a real help to our faith, all of the science out there, to say, wow, there's no way this could have happened on accident. All of that, I get that. But I have a hard time when I'm trying to administrate. And maybe for you, there's an area where, you know, I feel like I don't know what God thinks about that, or does he even care about that? It's hard for me to believe that. Yes, he cares about it because it's something in your life. I don't mean that you should discern whether to get a jelly donut or a blueberry donut or a, I mean, don't take a lot of time with that necessarily, but I do mean that God cares that you eat a donut. I mean, that I do mean. No, there's nowhere where we're not supposed to have communion with him. So if we bracket off certain areas and we've never asked God, what do you think about this? We should ask him, what do you think about this? Communion with the Lord isn't just something we do once in a while. It's something we live all week long. And that's what we're saying yes to. And sometimes the Lord surprises us with what he might say about something. And he might speak right to it. But in any case, inviting him into it is how communion happens. It's through that conversation, which we call prayer. It's through that constant conversation, which we call prayer. But what we're doing when we receive communion is, I think a lot of it is summed up in the Soul of Christ prayer, the Anima Christi. Does anyone know the Soul of Christ prayer? Oh, behold, I will. You are about to know. So this is the Soul of Christ prayer. It's kind of like, the first part is kind of like a short litany. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Permit me never to be separated from you. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may be forever praising you. There are a couple of lines in this prayer that particularly stand out to me. Permit me never to be separated from you. Why? Because I know my weakness. I'm prone to wander and I'm prone to, you know, go away from the Lord. And what this prayer is saying, and this is a prayer related, this is a very Eucharistic prayer, right? In the sense that we're talking about the body and blood of Christ. We're talking about his soul and divinity. We're talking about, why do I need communion with Jesus? Because I'm so prone to wander away. And I know that on Wednesday, I might have wandered kind of far, possibly, if I'm not living in communion with the Lord each day. And, you know, throughout the day. Permit me never to be separated from you. That's a great prayer to pray when you're receiving communion. If you just received and you go back and you're praying, permit me never to be separated from you, because I know that I'm prone to do it. and that the hour of my death called me and bid me come to you, that I may praise you with your saints and angels. Like, Lord, from this day until the day you call me home, may I be in communion with you. May I be living in communion with you. That's what it means to receive Jesus. That's what we're saying yes to. And the Lord wants very much for us to experience more of his divine life and more of his power. And it happens when we repent of any areas where we say, oh, I haven't thought about it like that. I'm going to change my thinking. Or I have thought about it, but there's some things that I do in the week that really keep God away, or I'm not actively doing that. He gives us grace. And the Eucharist, the bread that comes down from heaven, his flesh for the life of the world in John 6. His bread that comes down from heaven his flesh is true food. His blood is true drink. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. But if you do, he says, I will raise you up on the last day. Those words in John 6 that Jesus says, that is about his divine life within us. It's about God with us, Emmanuel. That's what Christmas is all about, which we are preparing. And we're preparing for Christmas. What is it? It's God with us, Emmanuel. Not just God is dwelling in the temple in Jerusalem, but no, God is dwelling in the temple of your body through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and through his body and blood in the Eucharist, through which he feeds us. And we keep going back for food. Why? Because communion with God is something that we continually need to receive. Like it's something that we continually go back to him, to abide with him. That's his divine life and grace within us. And he wants us to receive him with faith, right? It's not about, it is about what we're doing, because we are here to worship. We are here to listen and give our yes. So, but it's even more so. When we're giving God our faith, like we're giving him ourselves, so it is about what we're doing. But when we give God faith, it's also we're saying, Lord, what you're doing is so decisive. What you can do in the Eucharist and your divine life in me, it's all grace that I need. It's not just me trying harder. It's me trusting you. It's me really receiving you. It's me receiving you in such a way as to say, this is what I want. I want communion with you. Permit me never to be separated from you. And from today till the day that you call me home, may I be living in communion with you.